Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Jeffrey Wiegert. He is a swine extension associate at North Carolina State University. Thank you so much for joining us, Jeffrey.
Well, thank you for the invitation. Appreciate it.
Now, we know that colostrum is important to pig weight, pig survivability. You've been taking a really close look at it, though. What have you been learning about colostrum? Why is it so important to these factors?
Right. I think you make a very good point. Everybody that's gone through an intro animal science class or knows much about biology knows about the importance of colostrum, right? It's the first milk produced after parturition, extremely necessary for the piglets or for any neonates. Specifically, colostrum is a very high energy fluid, but also contains some of the immune cells that the animal is going to need to develop its own immune system. What I think maybe perhaps sometimes gets lost in the fold is some of the other nutritive or non-nutritive properties that it has. Some bioactive compounds that stimulate growth and development of that pig long after the first day of life. And so that's kind of been the objective and the function of our research, is to quantify the importance of colostrum intake. And by colostrum intake, we define that as the weight gain of the piglet or the weight change. Sometimes it's negative, but the weight change of the pig from birth to 24 hours of age. That's the metric that we've been using to define colostrum.
And colostrum intake, I mean, is there an ideal level per pig?
So there has been some studies out of the European Union that have put forward a threshold of 250 grams per baby pig. The pig has essentially one day to drink 250 grams of colostrum. And in that study specifically, what the researchers had identified is the pigs that consumed that threshold amount, they had about a 94% survivability to weaning, versus the pigs that failed to consume that amount, their survivability was down closer to about 50%. So we know that there is an importance of consuming colostrum.
So we know it's extremely important to the baby pig. We want them to get 250 grams within that first 24 hours. How's a producer to know?
That is difficult because it's a very labor-intensive trait to measure. Mm-hmm. What the producer could be doing is within the first day or the day after, really be looking at the litters and trying to find the fall behind pigs. So the pigs will have shrunken bellies, pigs that if you can actually observe the litter nursing, find the pigs that aren't getting onto the teat or onto the udder to drink adequately, those are the pigs that are going to need a little bit of extra attention in order for them to meet their genetic potential for growth.
And what kind of intervention would you use at that point?
There's a number of strategies that folks have utilized. One of the more simpler ones is just split suckling, right? So if you can take the first half of the litter that has had opportunities to drink adequately, you get them off of the sow and onto a heated creep area, so they're in their own comfortable place, and then you allow the second half of the litter to suck without any kind of interruption. Mm-hmm. That way you can make sure that at least every piglet has gotten their fair share. So I don't know that the studies have specifically associated that back to colostrum intake, but those have shown a lot of promise, both in the research area as well as in the field, shown a lot of promise with piglet survivability and growth to weaning.
Is there a correlation between colostrum production and the size of the litter?
That's a little bit more difficult. The data is not quite as clear, but it actually seems to be that there is not a very strong correlation between litter size and total colostrum production. So what this means is that in situations of large litter sizes, that potentially the individual colostrum intake per piglet is decreased. And this creates a problem. This means that those large litters potentially would be at greater risk. And we see this. We see that large litters have greater incidences of mortality. So, and it may come back to the colostrum piece.
What have you learned about the management of the cell. What can we do to optimize the flow of colostrum to these baby piglets?
There's still a lot to be learned about what do we need to do management-wise, nutritionally, what kind of health status does the sow need to be, or what's the optimum conditions or situations. These things are all really, really difficult. We haven't yet gotten that far, I don't believe. But there does seem to be, you could very easily just make the blanket statement, though, that healthy sows that are in a good, well cared for and that have good, are on good feed would have greater colostrum output.
And not challenged by enteric disease, for example.
Sure. Okay.
What can you tell us about weaning weights? It seems like the industry has been trending away from early weaning to more like 18 out to 21 days to ensure a healthier pig. Have you looked at that and how it relates to colostrum?
We haven't per se. We do know that colostrum intake will increase growth to weaning. What affects a shorter versus a longer lactation length would have on that piglet's ability to adapt and do well in the nursery. We haven't specifically looked at that.
So now you're presenting at the Lehman Conference. Kind of sum up for us the takeaway messages from your research and your presentation.
Sure. So the focus of the presentation that I'll be giving at the Lehman Conference is characterizing, really quantifying the effects of both birth weight and colostrum intake on the piglet's survivability and their growth to weaning. And so we find that, as would be expected, there are positive associations between both, right? So high birth weight pigs have better survivability and better weaning weights. Piglets that have greater viability at birth and greater colostrum intake similarly have greater survivability and greater weaning weights. What's quite interesting, and so that makes sense. I think a lot of people, they get that, they grasp that concept. Where I think potentially, I think a lot of the benefit to be gained from the presentation today is, well, we've also followed some of these piglets all the way through marketing. And so we've analyzed, or we've measured feed intake, average daily gain, and feed efficiency all the way through finishing. And so these pigs that have high birth weights and good colostrum intake, as would be expected, they do really well later on in maturity. But piglets with high birth weights that perhaps have had reduced colostrum intake, you do take away from some of those growth performance traits later in life. And along the same token, you can have a low birth weight pig, but if it gets off to a good start and has greater colostrum intake within the first 24 hours of life, those pigs actually do pick up a little bit on feed efficiency and average daily gain all the way into maturity. So you can perhaps influence the performance of your finishing operation and the bottom line of your entire system simply by maximizing or putting an emphasis and investment into the first 24 hours of that pig's life.
What are some things management-wise that producers can do to try to ensure the flow of colostrum?
So one thing that many farms have done that's shown great success is simple split suckle programs. And in that type of situation, you allow the first half of the litter or so to have uninterrupted colostrum access. You remove those pigs from the litter, put them into a heated creep area so they're off segregated by themselves without access to the udder. And what that does is that allows piglets in the second half of the litter to have greater uninterrupted access to the sow. We do know that piglets born in the second half of the litter have greater rates of mortality and poor performance simply because they don't have the access that those firstborn piglets do. Other situations and things that a number of systems have adopted is simply intensive farrowing care. Right, so being there when the sow actually gives birth, and that allows you to get the pig, if you have to intervene in cases of dystocia, you can get the baby pigs out. You can make sure that they're not caught in the placenta. You can make sure that they're breathing quickly after birth. All of these things allow the baby pig to just be stronger and healthier and get up onto the sow easier.
So in summary, there's so much you can do to help this pig in the first 24 hours. It sound like common sense, but I mean, you're seeing this in your research.
Right, right. And I think the real takeaway message is to quantify the effects later on in life. Everybody knows the importance of colostrum. That's just, you know, it's a key word that folks, they understand what the importance of colostrum is. But I think the real takeaway is that you can make small investments into the pigs, into the piglet at birth within the first day of life, and that pays off dividends later on in life, later on in the pig's maturity. And I think that's really kind of the whole takeaway, is that colostrum is not just important during the first 24 hours or to get the pig to live 3 days or 5 days or even all the way up to weaning. The importance of colostrum extends all the way through life. That's kind of the big takeaway that we hope people can leave with today.